Very briefly, I'll rush through this and then we conclude. We'll pick our text from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. Can we be on our feet? God bless you. As we conclude our service for today with the word that God has for us to help us. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. To that church age, first church age, what did he say? I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. We are continuing with our message, the exhortation that I titled, Behold the Apostles of Satan. We want to expose them. Remember that there are two important mysteries, the mystery of God and the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of God is the mystery what God is using to save his people before he will come and destroy this earth. And the mystery of iniquity is how Satan has penetrated the church and taken over the church. He has taken over the church. And from the parable that we see of the wheat and tares in Matthew chapter 13, from verse 24 to verse 30, you see that the church is a mixed multitude. The word of God is the seed by which we get born again. He planted his own good seed. The enemy came to plant his own seed in the same church. And that is to fulfill Genesis 3:15, the battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent will bruise the heel, the progress of the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman will bruise his head. And the seed of the woman is Christ. The woman is Israel. We have taught that several times. And her seed that she gave birth to, according to Revelation chapter 12, is Christ Jesus. And the seed of the serpent is the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist. It is a battle between Christ and the enemy of the church, Antichrist. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and verse 19. This is what Apostle Paul told the Philippian church concerning some people in the church.
For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
Who are they?
The enemies of the cross of Christ.
That is the Antichrist. Uh-huh.
Whose end is destruction, uh-huh. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things.
Enemies of the cross. He referred to them as enemies of the cross. When we look at the church, I'm not looking at Pride Assembly Church as a local church. I'm looking at the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. It is one church with different members, many members. Take note of it. Like we borrow from Apostle Paul that say not all Israel is of Israel. We can confidently, from available scriptures, say that not all Christians are of Christ. It's very important. And what is the purpose I stated last week? Hallelujah. The purpose is so that it will trouble the progress of the church and to take you away from the true way to get to God. And Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to God. No man coming through any other way. And if you miss it, you are the next way you are going. You are going to hell. That is why Christ, in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 7, what did he say? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, this was his advice.
Enter ye in at the straight gate. Uh-huh. For wide is the gate and broad is the way.
There are two ways, so
that leadeth to destruction.
Uh-huh.
And many there be which go in thereat.
Uh-huh.
Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life.
Uh-huh.
And few there be that find it.
Again, verse 14 again.
Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it.
Verse 13.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in there.
The one that leadeth to destruction is wide, and many go in through that way. Church, are you among the many or the few that find a way to life? Because the road is straight. The straight there is, it is narrow. If you go in there, you walk in carefully. Because it says straight and narrow. But it leads to life. Life here is eternal life. But few there be that find it. Hey, few there be that find it. And we say this with all passion because the bride of Jesus Christ needs to know this now. That is why 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 15 to verse 19.
Study to show thyself approved unto God.
Uh-huh.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Uh-huh.
But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Uh-huh.
And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Emmanuel.
He mentioned this name of these archbishops and apostles. What are their names?
Emmanuel and Philetus.
What did they teach?
Who concerning the truth have heard, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some.
Paul, from that age, began to mention this. That is why he told the Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, he said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already walk. So, they are there, preachers, Hymenaeus and Philetus. But Jeremiah 23, verse 21, if you read it up to verse 27, is a reference. It said, God said he did not send them. They are on their own. He did not send them. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15, say they are ministers of Satan. Church, there are ministers of Satan, and he called them what? Verse 13. What did he say?
For such are false apostles.
They are false apostles because God did not send them.
Deceitful workers.
They are deceitful workers.
Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Uh-huh.
And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Okay, now.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness.
So Satan has ministers. What is their work? To pervert the gospel. To deceive the people. They are the tares that are referred to in the Bible. Don't just carry Bible and go to church. And all you know is your church address, the name of your pastor. And then whether it's anointed or not, you're looking at the anointing or his oratory ability. It's more than that. Don't just jump and you think that salvation ends in being a member of a church and being a member in a department worker in the church. It's more than that. There is an agenda and it is right in the church of Jesus Christ, planted enemies within, household enemy, household of God, the enemies of the household of faith. So that you will understand which ministry is this. Where have you found yourself? Amen. I was sharing before I came to the altar today with Pastor Lumide. the problem my former pastors used to have with me. The last thing you should do with me after I gave my life to Christ is to play with my eternal destination. Don't try that. You become my enemy, whoever you are. And so I had a lot of problem with the four pastors that pastored me, including the last one. I mean, the first one I attended, may his soul rest in hope. I attended his funeral a few days ago. And when he baptized me, he brought the entire message to me inside prison. Through him, my eyes were open. But I caught a picture of how it should look like. And when I came to the church after I was released, I worshipped there for only 1 month. It was a complete opposite of the picture I caught when I gave my life to Christ and I was studying inside the prison for 2 years. I gathered the elders. I said, what are you people doing here? They were in the pulpit there and then they were fighting each other. The church was in a shaking time. They were fighting for one thing or the other. They would use the pulpit. You come to church to be blessed. They are abusing each other. And the fire I came out with was dying. I said, where am I? I said, I wanted to see the elders. All of them gathered. I told them I came here with a fire. I saw something. I come to join you people. Are killing me. I've not received anything since I came out and joined you people. I said, if something happened to my soul, God will judge all of you. And many of them busted that evening and they were crying. I still managed to come the next Sunday. I started asking, is there no any other intermediate church apart from these people? Because you baptized me does not mean I must be in your church. That one I left without even an excuse. They don't see me again. And when he saw me, years after, now this church has started. Met him somewhere and he was telling the pastor that went with me, he was telling, I'm here with Pastor Andrew. He said, he's supposed to be my son. And when we entered his office, I said, sir, when we are coming, you are saying, making a statement that I'm supposed to be your son. That means I don't know who my father is. I said, you know, you are not my father. You are not my spiritual father. My father sent me to you to baptize me. You finish your work on me. You're not my spiritual father. He said, you didn't learn anything. They said you went to start the church. You are doing this in the church. They are messing up the gospel. And I say, how can you say I didn't learn anything? I attended 4 intermediate churches before Brother Assembly started. You say I didn't learn anything. I started learning from your church. I was saying this in his office. I said, in your church, I learned how they fight for pulpits. His eyes turned red. When it comes to salvation, not even Pastor Moses should toil with it. Because through him, you gave your life to Christ. He laid hand on you and you received the Holy Ghost. Don't joke with your eternal destination. Don't. Don't. That's why I love, amen, that statement I continue to say, follow who no road. And I think I know road. I think I know road. I don't know. I've forgotten from where you sent me that message. Yesterday I read it. A sister said she was in a spirit, I mean in a dream, and then together with some people they were praying together. They formed a circle together, and then they started with her, come to the center. He said, and when they were going to pray for her, he said they brought candle and put on her head. And then they were going to light it. And she kicked it off and said, Pastor Moses didn't teach us this. That is somebody that is following. Kick it off and fought them and came out of that place. Amen. It's not even about Pastor Moses. It's about the scripture does not teach that. That's all I'm trying to teach you, nothing more. So that you will judge even me that I'm standing here to preach. Judge what I am saying and what I am doing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So don't think that we are just critics. There are people that are pastors preaching, and they are ministers of Satan, and they are the enemies of the cross. According to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul said, they are sent to pervert the gospel. They pervert the gospel. Hallelujah. And how did they pervert it? That is what Jesus Christ prophesied in through that parable in Matthew 13 and verse 33. What did he say? Matthew 13 verse 33.
Another parable spake he unto them.
Yes.
The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened.
Till the whole was leavened. Something was taken leaven and mixed with three measures of meal, and the whole meal is the process of salvation was corrupted. A mixture. There's an English word called syncretism. It is this mixture is called syncretism. English defines it as the process of exchange and interaction that occurs when two or more distinct belief systems are fused to create a new religion. The term may also be used to refer to an established religion that has adopted beliefs from other faiths. I read it again. Syncretism is the process of exchange, your exchange, and interaction that occurs when two or more distinct belief systems are fused to create a new religion. That is what Jesus Christ gave in that parable of Matthew 13 and verse 33. The mixture. And this was achieved in Christianity in AD 325 at Nicaea, Rome, when paganism was married to Christianity, which gave birth to a new faith called the Roman Catholic Church. With this, they now married pagan practices with the Christian religion, and they produced what they have today. With new doctrines now introduced, which were unscriptural doctrines, and this include the doctrine of Trinity, the Trinity of God. God in three persons. There was nothing like Trinity until that meeting that is in history. That meeting took place. You serve God like this. How can we come together to accept it? And then that is syncretism. They came together and take here, mix it together, and then we form another product. Trinity. Three persons in one God. God, the Father. God, the Son. God, the Holy Ghost. They are the ones that started it. It gave birth through that Roman Church. Roman Catholic Church. That is where they went beyond Jesus Christ being the mediator between God and man, and they now have many other mediators and even mediatrix. Mediatrix is a woman medium, female medium. So you cannot, they have all the things that you see that they identify with. Mary, Mother of God, pray for us St. Jude, pray for us. Do you ever hear that in the scripture? Is there anything like that as a practice? One mediator, why are you adding others? And he was not appointed by man to be the mediator. It is God himself, for God was in Christ reconciling us to him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They are the ones that completely, pervert the three works of grace. Complete perversion. The three works of grace are justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know what the Catholics teach for justification, teach for sanctification, and teach as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Holy Eucharist. Many of us know this better than me, especially those of you who were delivered from that system. You came back to Christ. You came back to Christ. They are the ones that produced purgatory. Why the Bible says, appointed unto man once to die. After that is what? But they say after you die, there's a prayer that can be done here so that he can purge his sin where he is and then be moved to heaven. Purgatory is now. Purge your sin before you die. If not, you are finished. And they are the ones that introduce commercialization of the gospel. It started with them. So when you pay the priesthood here, they will pray for your dead mother, dead father, to move from purgatory. He's still suffering. Oh, he's suffering. But if you pay, maybe the more you pay, the lesser the purging process. This idea of charging people, charges, started from there. You pay. That is what you see in the third seal. One of the things they did was the establishment of apostolic succession and the priesthood. Apostolic succession. That is where you see they say Peter is the founder of the church, the Catholic Church. Certainly not the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the founder of his church, not Peter. And history tells us that Peter did not go to Rome. And that Peter handed that to the bishop of Rome that has transformed with time to become the Pope of the Roman Church. And when I speak like this, I am not speaking against any religion. But I only want to prove to you that it is a religion, but not a Christian religion. Simple. I'm not against them. There are other religions on earth. Hindu is there. Buddhists are there. Islam is there. Shango is there. There are other religions. But we only want you to note so that you will identify which one is of Christ and which one is not. I hope you know that every religion recognizes Jesus Christ. Even Rosicrucians see him as the leader, the highest in their esoteric levels. They believe so. They established the apostolic succession and the priesthood. Instead of the fivefold ministry, they have the hierarchy of priests. It was the merger of the pagan priests with the Christian ministry to produce that. They introduced the bowing to images when the Bible in Exodus 20 tells us not to make any image or any likeness of anything on earth or in heaven and bow before it. They have the images at the altar, everywhere in their shrines. and they bow before them according to their religion that they formed in AD 325. And then they adopted by compromise the date December 25th that was being used as the birthday of one of their pagan gods. They gave it a Christian name and became the birthday they agreed in the union, syncretism, and adopted that name as the birth date of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is false. Very, very false. Not the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem, Judea. What did they do to achieve it? The Spirit of God was talking to that church age in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6. And
But didst thou ask that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also ate.
There was the deed of the Nicolaitans. Go to verse 14 and verse 15.
But I have a few things against thee.
Yes.
Because thou hast there them that owe the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat.
That things. Is, they were encouraging syncretism. That is when the mixture started. To make the children of God mix with pagan practices. And they know God hates it.
Which taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eating sacrifice unto idols and to commit fornication.
Fornication, worldliness, where you take Christ and join with any worldly form of rituals, you are committing fornication. The spiritual fornication. When you leave one church and go to another church, it's not spiritual fornication. It is what you believe, you mix it with other unscriptural beliefs. That is spiritual fornication. Go ahead.
Verse 15. So ask thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I ate.
God himself said he hated it. What started as a deed became a doctrine. And I explained that extensively in part one of this message. That is what produced the third seal with the black horse rider, depicting when that mixture took place and these practices came into the church, light departed and there was total darkness. See how it was described in verse 5, Revelation chapter 6.
And when he had opened the third seal,
yes,
I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse.
What did he see?
A black
horse. That is depicting the dark church ages when light left completely.
And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand.
Who that sat there on top of that horse had a pair of balances? Commercialization. What were they doing?
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou art not the oil and the wine.
You see? And so fulfilling what Jesus Christ spoke about the gates of hell, he said the gates of hell shall not prevail. Those four horse riders are the gates of hell that the Antichrist spirit of Genesis 3:15 will be using. And if you notice why he said it shall not prevail, is because of the standard that he rose that will expose Satan each time he moves. Hallelujah. What did he use in Revelation chapter 4? Those four beasts before the throne of God. The lion. The lion.
The calf.
Let's read it, please. Revelation.
Revelation chapter 4, verse 7.
Listen.
And the first beast was like a lion.
A lion.
And the second beast was like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle.
And then, you know, the Antichrist spirit was depicted in Revelation chapter 6. And those four horses is the same horse that was changing color. Not four horses. The same horse that started as a white, we have taken it here several times, go to our archives and know what that depicted. And when he appeared, the standard that God used, the first beast, said, come and see. Is to open the eyes of the people to understand what is happening and receive grace to withstand it. It changed to red. That was why he was killing, killing, killing. There was a standard, an anointing God released that the people were willing to die for what they stood for. And they killed and they killed and they killed. When it didn't stop, it changed again, another style. That was when syncretism crept in. That is when they came by trick and matched the two religions together. Because Satan knows, once you do that, light will disappear. They withdrew Bible from the people, and only, that is the deed of the Nicolaitans, only the priesthood had access to the Bible. So whatever they tell you is what you must follow. It is in church history. I am not saying what I don't know. If you want this, yeah, just Google, you will see it. 68 million people who refused to join that organization called the Roman Church were killed. That is when, during the Red Horse Rider. Now that he removed the Bible from the people, he produced the Black Horse. Back then, that was when the third beast said what? Come and see. What is the third beast? Face as a man. To begin that revival in verse 6 again, in Revelation chapter 6.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say,
yes,
a measure of wheat for a penny,
uh-huh,
and 3 measures of barley for a penny.
Uh-huh.
And see thou ought not the oil.
There is, he said,
the wine.
He said, see thou ought not the oil and the wine, because there is going to be a revival at the end. That is the standard. And he used the face of a man. That was when the Protestant movement began. After almost 1,000 years of total Roman Catholic Church taking over the Christian faith, preventing the true church to stand. Persecution. All of them were underground, underground, underground. And up till now, because of certain things we were reading, Pastor Lumide, you had a question, you made a statement. He said, how many ministers will make it? See what is happening in the world today. And we thank God to the social media. They follow pastors bumper to bumper to expose their dark side. And it is shocking to hear what we are hearing concerning people we revered. People that we hold highly. If they open just one page of their dark side, then you will know. These people are not planning to go to heaven, no. And I quickly told you, Pastor Lumide, I said the real preachers, the true preachers are not known. I said, but God knows his own. The estate that we are in now was the estate that Elijah said. He said that everybody has bowed to Baal. Now only me left. The God said, hey, shut up. Because you know only yourself. I know my own. I know my own. They don't make noise. They live a life. And they have relationship with me. They hear my voice. They know me. They follow me. All that the Father gave me from the foundation of the world, they will come to me. And no man will pluck them out of them. And that is why Jesus said that this false spirit will be so close that if it were possible, he said they would deceive the very elect. But it is not possible, because all the Father gave me will come to me, and no man will pluck them out of my hand. It is thus said the Lord. The reason is this. We have a different makeup. We are not follow. We are not planted by the devil. We are planted by him. And he said, all that my Father has not planted will be rooted up. Wait. God is exposing them. I took a message. When certain things were happening, in Christendom. Revered men of God. Downplaying the scriptures and doing things that you never expect a pastor of that magnitude to be involved with. How can a Pentecostal pastor and a Hindu man come together and say, we are one? I had to come and say, we are watchmen. I said, Matthew 13 verse 30 was being fulfilled. The tares we are planted, the tares are maturing. And if the tares are maturing, then the reapers have to be made available to gather them. The mystery is very deep and very, very interesting. Praise the Lord. The mystery of iniquity. And this false doctrine, the activities of the Antichrist spirit in the church, is what produced the claim of men ascribing their ministry to the fulfillment of certain scriptures. That is when it began with that Roman church. The Pope says he's the successor of Peter. Then some men also rose up as time went on and begin to claim that they are Malachi 4. They are the one to fulfill Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, when it is clearly for Israel and Israel alone. They claim that Revelation 10, 7, that they are the ones fulfilling it. They claim that Luke 17, 30, they are the ones fulfilling it. They claim that Revelation 10, 11, all these were claimed in the past, including by men, including Alexander Dowie. He claimed he was Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Frank Sanford also claimed it. Charles Russell, the founder of Jehovah's Witness, he also claimed these scriptures. William Branham also claimed it. Raymond Jackson also claimed it. Amos Omoboriowo claimed it in Nigeria. There's another one that is claiming it in Sierra Leone. Kakao, Philip Kakao. Joseph Colmer in America claim it. Neil Frisby claim it. Elder David in Benin claim it. Ozemina in Onitsha claim it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody's claiming. I fulfill this. It is my ministry fulfilling this. Church. Amen. Hallelujah. Our eyes of understanding, he has opened it at last. We know better now. We know better. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's very easy to know them. When you speak against their doctrine, they're ready to kill you. Come and see how enter-message believers around the world. They were castigating me, abusing me, because I say, I have searched again in the scripture. There is no scripture that fulfills that.